Today's scripture passage is from Joshua 4, verses 1 to 9. It's on page 224 in your Bibles below your seat, or you can see it on the screens in the church. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. This is the word of the Lord.
Remember, it's a good word for us because we tend to be forgetful creatures. Every married man here, I'm willing to wager, has had this conversation before with their spouse. Wife says, "So honey, do you know what day it is today?" And the man, interior monologue, "Oh no. What is this, her anniversary? No, that's not it. Is it her mother's birthday? No, that's not it. Was this the first day we went out on a date? No, I don't know about that, maybe." Well, a little bit of panic. The guy forgot. I have forgotten, Joanne. I'm sorry for all the times I've forgotten those kind of things. Everybody has a computer. Everybody has a smartphone. And they all have passwords. Have you ever stared at your computer screen and trying to open an app and have no idea what password you were using for that thing was anymore? It's happened to me. Lots of us take pills, not bad pills, you know, doctor-authorized pills. And some of us have to take quite a few, and we have to take them at different times of the day. And you think, now, did I take my pills? Which ones am I supposed to take? You can't remember. It's Monday morning. You're laying in bed and sleeping in a little bit. Don't have to be at work too early. And you hear the garbage truck outside. Like, oh, I forgot. Garbage day. So you jump out of bed, throw on a house coat, and tear out, hoping to catch them before they're gone. Most of these instances of forgetfulness are kind of minor. They're more annoyances than anything. It's an inconvenience. But sometimes forgetting things is tragic, a real terrible thing. Sometimes a man or a woman will forget the vows that they shared on their wedding day and fall into the dark sin of adultery and all kinds of brokenness results. Sometimes nations forget their own history of immigration and of welcoming strangers. And you read the newspaper and hear some of the things happening in the country to the south, and you think they've forgotten some things. Well, our Bible reading today, which which Pauline read for us, is all about remembering. The people of Israel had a lot of things they needed to remember. Their foundational stuff. They needed to remember that they served a God who was the creator of the world, that he was the only one worthy of praise, and that they should serve him. The essential nature of their God. They needed to remember that their family lived in Canaan, and a drought came along that was so severe that they were all going to die. But the Lord provided a way for them to go to Egypt, where there was food and shelter and a place to grow their families. And it was God that did that. They needed to remember that when they were in Egypt, that things kind of went sideways on them after a couple of generations, and they became slaves in Egypt, and life was bitter and hard, and there was no way out. They couldn't escape. Egypt was too mighty. They were too weak. And along came their God, who rescued them from that slavery, brought them out of the land, and set them free. They needed to remember that when they got out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness, a vast multitude of people. And they survived, and they even thrived in the wilderness, because they needed to remember God provided food in the desert. He provided water in the desert so that they could live, that they could grow. He even did miracles that we don't even think about so much. You know, in the 40 years of their wandering, their shoes never wore out. It was a God thing. They needed to remember that God had been blessing them all the time through the wilderness. And now our story comes to the Jordan River. The time of wilderness wandering was done. They were to cross into the promised land to take possession of that which God had said, I have set this aside for you. And there was a river in the way, a raging river, a river at flood stage, a river that if you went into it, you'd be swept away, a river which represented death to them. And what were they going to do? And God said, I want you to take a step of faith, a literal step of faith. I want you, as this raging river is before you, to step confidently with me into the river. They said, isn't that suicide? Isn't that foolishness? So this is what I want you to do. I want you to trust me. And as their foot hit the water receded before them and piled up like a heap in the distance. So the whole nation, the whole multitude could cross this river on dry ground, looking at that mountain of water over there and say, God has done this. They needed to remember that their God was a good and powerful God who was there for them. So, Israelites, who is your creator? The Lord, God Almighty. He is our creator. Who delivered you from Egypt, Israelites? The Lord, God Almighty. He is our Redeemer. Who fed you and provided for you in the wilderness for all those many years? The Lord, God Almighty, our provider. And who saved you from the raging waters of the Jordan River? Who brought you safely into the promised land when no one deemed it even possible? The Lord Almighty, He has done great things. Now, as they were standing on that, now the far side of the river, looking at what has just happened, it was not hard for them to remember. Say, well, how can I forget that? Like, it's right here. It just happened. I experienced it. I'm one of those that walked through the river. This is in front of mind. This is powerfully within me. And people were blown away by their God. But time passes, you know. And as time passes, memories start to fade. Stories get told less often. Experience becomes history. History becomes myth. And myth in time gets relegated to the inconsequential. And so that the people would not forget, the Lord said, no, this is what I want you to do. See, the river was still dry. The water was still piled up like a mountain over there. He said, I want you to take 12 strong men, one from each tribe, representing all of you. Take as big a boulder as you can lug. Pick it up and take it over to the side. And build a monument. A monument of 12 big stones. Let it be striking. Let it be something that people notice. And the idea was that whenever a family would pass by, that the kids would say, Mom, Dad, that's a strange monument of stones there. What's the story of that? And they say, oh, my son, oh, my daughter, let me tell you the story of what our God has done. Let me tell you the story of fear that is overcome by God's power. Let me tell you the story of love of our God for us, his people. And he is a God whom we delight to worship because of who he is and of what he has done. So it would not be forgotten. Interesting that another time in the Bible when exactly these words are used was in the Passover. That the families were ordered to, every year celebrate the Passover feast to reenact the release from Egypt as the angel of death passed over and took the firstborn of every family. The Lord said, take the blood of a lamb, put it on your doorposts, and every family that is under the blood of the lamb will be spared from the angel of death. And they were. And so they remember this. They reenact it with a meal and with blood on their posts and all this stuff. And it is intended to be a time when families would say that the children would ask, Mom, Dad, why are we doing this? What does this mean? And the parents could say, well, let me tell you the story. The story of how our God worked in our lives. How we were saved by the goodness, the power, and the mercy of God. And when they remembered, the Lord's blessing was on them. And when hard times came, the memory of God's work in the past would sustain them and help them to trust that the God who was there for them before is the same God who will be there for them now, and the God who will be faithful into the future as he has been in the past. The stories were to be told over and over so that the lesson could be relearned again and again. But, like we've said, what is the experience of one generation becomes the tradition of the next generation and becomes the historical relic of the generation down the road. Finally, it becomes a question for a game of Trivial Pursuit, perhaps, but not something that lives and breathes and guides and fills the hearts of the people. Very quickly, the Israelites stopped telling these stories, and the Israelites started worshiping idol gods, the moral character of the people degraded, and things fell apart. They lost the center. They lost their God because they forgot. Do you ever feel, I do, that we live in a society that is forgetful, that is adrift? The center has been removed. The stories of faith and the acts of the Lord are not told very often anymore. To many people, even among us, the stories of the faith are unknown or remembered only as quaint vestiges of a less sophisticated time. But we need to tell the stories too. We need to tell the story of creation, reminding each other that the world receives all of its beauty from God. I mean, you look outside. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm looking this way. I can see out the windows. I can see the sun and the grass and the trees. It's beautiful. We live in a lovely world. We need to remind each other that all that beauty derives from the beauty of the Creator. Everything good in it comes from the goodness of the Creator. All the blessing that we get from the world is a blessing that is coursed because of our Creator. We need to tell the stories of Jesus, how he was promised, why he needed to come, how he appeared, what he taught, what he did, what he showed to us, how the world rejected him, and he was crucified and died and was buried. But remember his resurrection. Remember the vindication of the will and the promise of God by bringing new life to us and to the world in Christ. We need to tell that story. This is the story of hope and the story of love and the story of wholeness. We need to tell the stories of the church. People seem to be down on the church, but shouldn't be. The church was born in adversity, born in the fires of persecution, but remained faithful to its Lord despite all that. Though it was small and meager in its beginning, the church became a living thing that spread throughout the world, and languages on every corner are lifting praise up to God in Jesus Christ and expressing and experiencing grace and hope and love. They are ministering with compassion and power in the name of the Lord. Those are stories that we need to tell. The church is not weak, it's strong. The church is not irrelevant. It has meaning and purpose and power. We need to tell the stories of our families. Stories of how faith came to us. How the Lord blessed us and shaped us and directed us. How he preserved and blessed us, and how today we stand as people of faith and confession. And Jesus is our center. We need to tell those stories. Like we've said, to many people these stories are forgotten. And that is tragic. One of the things we should be doing is encouraging people to remember again, to remind them of the truth of the stories. Encourage them to find again the faith that is their heritage and which can live within them again. But I feel like, you know, talking on about this morning is kind of like preaching to the choir. Right? I mean, you're here, most of you, because you believe. You do remember. You do know these stories. You believe that it is true. Why would you, you know, sit in here on such a lovely Sunday morning when you could be out there? You could be on the golf course. You could be on your sailboat if you are so fortunate as to have one. But no, we are here because this is the place where we need to be. This is the right place. And it is on us to be the storytellers. We have to help our children and our grandchildren, the generation that is rising, who will take our place in time as leaders of families and leaders of churches, about what is deeply and powerfully true. We have to help them and take them to places where the monuments are, so that they can ask the question, what does this mean? And give us the opportunity to explain it to them, to show them the meaning and the deep truth. The monuments, I'm not asking you to get on a plane and go to the Middle East and find a pile of stones beside the Jordan River. I'm asking you to look inside your own homes. In your homes, I hope, I trust, there's a Bible. And it's a Bible that's not covered in a layer of dust, but it's pretty clean because you keep picking it up and opening it and closing it and opening it. And you read that Bible as a family. And you read the stories of Jesus, and you read the stories of the church, and you read the stories of the prophets. And you're people of prayer, and you take the time with your families to say, okay, everyone, we're going to pray. We're going to say a prayer of thanksgiving for all we've received. We're going to pray for grandma who is suffering. We're going to pray for people in our church that are having a hard time. When we open the Bible and are gathered around it, we are a monument. When we get in a circle and we pray and we try to unite our hearts so we can go to the throne of God together, we are a monument. And may it be that our kids say, excuse me, why are we reading this? Why are we praying? None of my friends do this. Why do we do this? You say, ah, my son, let me tell you about the nature of our God and what he has done and who we are because he is our God. But the monuments are not just in our home. The monuments are here in our church too. Right there is our communion table. Every month, we gather around it, we have Lord's Supper. The bread is broken, the glass is lifted up, we share it, we say, eat, drink, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins, and we are in that, we are a monument to the power and the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. And may it be that our little ones, when they see us and when they even come forward to participate in it, they say, what does this mean? Why are we doing this? And may you as parents and may you as grandparents and may you as members of the community who made promises to Caleb and to Mary and to all the others who have been baptized in this church, may you be ready to explain the meaning of this monument Or of this one, this baptismal font. Why do we do this? Every Sunday we fill it because we say we want to remember. We do that because this is a monument of the love of God, of his drawing us together in him. It's a monument of our hope and our joy. Do our kids understand what this is? And they will know it because you explain it to them. Explain the meaning of these deep monuments of the faith. When I was reading Joshua chapter 4 several times in anticipation and preparation for this message, I got the feeling that this monument, the 12 stones piled up, could have been overlooked. I mean, people might have walked by and say, yeah, there's a pile of stones. Over the centuries, if it was all piled up, maybe it would have crumbled down a bit and gotten a little less fancy looking. And then it would have been the job of the parents to say, as they're walking by, excuse me, kid, I want to draw your attention to that pile of stones there. Do you see that? Do you know what that is? No? Well, then, let me tell you. Let me tell you the story of what happened. Let me tell you the story of us. Let me tell you the story of our God. We must never forget, kids. And if they're going to remember, we need to know and be committed to telling them. Well, the monuments that we've talked about, the Bible in our homes, the family at prayer, the communion table, the baptismal font, they are also monuments that can be forgotten or overlooked, become too ordinary. Yeah, it's always there. Yeah, this thing's always here. Yeah, we pray, it's just what we do. And it loses its power, loses its significance. It becomes just part of the ordinary, kind of the run-of-the-mill things that we do. And we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. That our baptisms never become just ho-hum routine of a meaningless exercise, a historical relic. That this, the sharing of the Lord's Supper is a powerful reminder that we are sharing together in the blood and the body of Christ, that he has given this to us that we might receive a spiritual blessing. These are the things that we need to do. This is how Christian community stays strong, not just now, but into the future. So, let us play our part. Let's be storytellers, sharing the good news of what God has done for us and the world, bringing grace and mercy to all. And may God bless you in the sharing of these stories. And may he bless those who receive the stories and know them to be true. Amen. Let's pray. I ask, Lord, that you'll bless each one called to be a storyteller. May we have the courage to open our mouths and speak that which is deep and true. May those with whom we share be given the grace to receive it and know it to be true. And may we be strong together in worshiping and loving you and serving you in every way that you call us to do. We pray this so gratefully. And in the name of the Lord, amen.